Welcome, everybody. I'm so grateful to God for what is happening this evening. And I'm so excited for each of you, as well as for myself and for my wife, Kristen, that we get to benefit from the teaching that we're going to hear tonight from Kenneth. Want to welcome you and want to thank you for the investment that you're making in being here tonight. Thank you to each of you for looking ahead, for planning ahead for what God has for you. I know as I look back on when I was engaged, when I was recently married, I didn't give a lot of thought to this category of parenting. Just kind of looked forward to the wedding day and being married. And so many parents don't think to plan for, future parents don't think to plan for parenting until they see that pregnancy test come back positive. And they realize, boy, we have some planning to do. So respect you very much for taking the time to be here tonight. As well, I want to just welcome each of you who are in the midst of this, who are in the midst of parenting. And you probably only have to think back to about 30 minutes ago to remember why you're here tonight and how much you need tonight. Parenting is a joy. It's a tremendous privilege, but it is definitely a task that that is filled with difficulties and need for faith and need for training from God in His Word, and that's what He wants to provide for us tonight. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon exhorts us to get wisdom, to get wisdom. And in the book of James, you hear an echo of this when James writes, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith." We're here tonight because we need wisdom. And the world offers a wisdom that's not going to supply what we need for this task of raising up the next generation of children who are going to follow after the Lord, are going to make much of the gospel. But we have for us tonight in God's word all that we need, all that we need in God's promises as we apply them for a confidence and a trust that God is going to raise up our children to the glory of His name. So I am very excited to be here, to be under Kenneth's teaching. I want to just share a few thoughts personally about Kenneth. Many of you probably know that Kenneth is the father of five sons, from 18 down to just shy of 3. And if you know his family at all, you know that there is some wonderful fruit being born in the lives of his sons. John David, his oldest, just graduated this past weekend from high school. And if you get any time with John David, you recognize quickly that this is a humble young man. This is a godly man who is seeking to influence his peers for godliness. And if you go right down the line from John David to James and to Christopher, who are also very godly teenagers, you see that this man and his wife are bearing some wonderful fruit as they apply God's word in their task of parenting. But also, Kenneth is with us tonight as a man who's still in this season. And Kenneth has a son who is almost 8, Patrick, and a son who is almost 3 in Braden. And so he's with us tonight in the midst of this season, still parenting through these issues, still applying God's word faithfully to those two younger boys. And so what a gift we have tonight to receive from Kenneth. Personally, I've been on the receiving end of this man's wisdom numerous times in the area of parenting. Kenneth has been a mentor to me. And to get one-on-one time with Kenneth and his family is to observe the fruit of wisdom being lived out in his family. So how grateful we should be tonight to receive from God through this man, a faithful man who's bringing God's word to us. So I want to make sure that you get all the time you can to receive from him as well. So I'll pass on the podium to Kenneth. Let's welcome him. Thank you, Kenneth.
It is a joy to be with fellow parents this evening. And you should have received an outline on the way in. It says Session 1, Training Our Children, Ages 6 and Under. Everybody get one of those? Everybody should have one of those. And you should have that out because I'm going to be teaching from that outline. And I realize that we have people here from many different situations, but so I can get an idea, just if you would just briefly raise your hands, how many of you have children between or above, let's say just 12 to 18? How many of you have children in that range, 12 to 18? Okay, how many of you would have children in the age range of 7 to 12? 7 to 12. How many of you would have children in the age range of 3 to 6? Okay, how about 0 to 3? God bless you. God bless you. You're the ones that I pray for tonight. You know, Mike Bradshaw this morning, he came to me and he said, Kenneth, how much do I have to pay you to concentrate on four-month-olds? And I don't know about you, but for me, I know exactly how he feels. It wasn't 2 months ago that I was in the middle of this process with my two-year-old, and he had disobeyed some clearly communicated standards, and we were in the bedroom administering the discipline of the father through the rod, and I was preparing to administer the discipline, and I spoke to him and I said, now, you want to be a godly boy. You don't want to be a foolish boy. And I listed his brothers. I said, John David is a godly boy. James is a godly boy. You want to be a godly boy, don't you? And he looked at me with that spiky blonde hair and those piercing blue eyes. And he said, Daddy, I want to be a foolish boy. And I want you to know, he sincerely meant it. He meant that with all his heart, and I appreciated his honesty. And I know in my early days, if my firstborn son had said that to me, I would have gotten scared. I would have went, what's wrong with him? And what I realize is he's just being honest. He's just being truthful. He wants to be a foolish boy. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Proverbs 22 tells it clearly. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. But then that following conjunctive verse, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. And, I knew at that point that I needed to inform him of the ways of the universe, of the God who ruled him and the Father who God had provided for his life, and I needed to obey God. I just needed to do what was right. And we went through a process there, and I did discipline him, and I convinced him, at least for the time being, that he wanted to be a godly boy. By the end of the process, he acknowledged, I want to be a godly boy. He's not always agreed since that time, though. Now, I know many of you are here for different reasons, but parenting children in the 0 to 6 age range can be frightening. It can be fearful. There are things that happen and things that they do that you just don't know how to respond to. And I've been there. I know exactly how you feel. I would say that by God's grace, through the experience of reading God's word and applying God's word and receiving counsel from others, I am less fearful than I was on number one, now on number five. And what I'm going to try to do tonight is I'm going to try to teach from God's word, principles from God's word that I believe apply directly to parenting children in the 0 to 6 age range. Much of what I say will contradict what culture and our society tells us to do with our children. And if you are here as a guest, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you've come as a guest of someone, I want to just ask you to listen carefully. And I want to ask you to consider two things. Number one, what basis do you have for believing what you believe about your parenting? And that really does apply to all of us tonight. Is your parenting, for you, those of you who are believers, coming, and the principles you're applying, they're coming from the Word of God? And number two, for those of you who are not believers, what's the fruit of it? And I would just ask you, because if you're here tonight as a guest and as an unbeliever, you probably are someone who is maybe not sure of where they are in their faith. You probably have observed fruitfulness in some of your friends and some of your neighbors. And I want to invite you to consider what God's word, because sometimes our parenting leads us to see our need for a Savior. I know all of us here can say that. Hasn't being a parent helped you to appreciate God's grace in your life and the forgiveness of God and the grace of God and the power of God in your life? If you're a parent here and you're a believer here, you have to say yes to that. And for those of you who are, I want to say, no matter where you are in your parenting, God's word faithfully applied with humility, provides hope for whatever situation you find yourself in. I want to begin the outline here by just looking at that first scripture, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. I want to read that and just move right down to our next point. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the top of your outline. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's the basic structure that we're going to go from tonight. But before we get into that scripture, I want to just encourage us that each of our children are a gift from God. Look at what Psalm 127 says. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in his gate. I want to just say this. Our children are a blessing from God. It doesn't always feel that way, but biblically, it is inconceivable that anyone would desire a childless marriage. It's just inconceivable. Children in Scripture are a rich heritage and a blessing from God. And if you just, we can't do a survey of it tonight, time doesn't permit us, but the Old and the New Testament alike, whether it was Rachel, whether it was Hannah, whether it was Elizabeth, the desire for children was always a godly thing, and the blessing of children was always seen as a reward from the Lord. And our culture, though, doesn't think this way. And many think children aren't a blessing. This past week, there was an article in the USA Today asking the question, does one need children to be satisfied in life? The fact that that question is even being asked reveals something about our culture and their attitude towards children. I want to ask you this evening, are you aware of the blessing of each one of your children? Do you say, blessed, behold, my children are a heritage from the Lord. Blessed is my household. And I just want to ask you to close your eyes for one second. Just a spiritual interchange as we begin. And just in your own mind, just thank the Lord for each of your children specifically. Lord, thank you. Each one of my children is a blessing from you. I receive them as a blessing from you. Just quietly, just briefly, just thank the Lord specifically for each one of your children. Because that's the starting point for where we're beginning tonight. God has given us gifts. And he's now going to ask us what we're going to do with them. And Scripture provides a pathway for us to move forward. And that leads us to Roman numeral 2. Parenting must be done in the Lord. Look at our Scripture. Ephesians 6, 1. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. We are under the authority of God's Word in this task. It defines what we are to do and the attitudes that we are to do it in, the practices that we are to practice, our goals. They are all to be coming directly from the Word of God. And these early years that we're going to be talking about this evening are just the preparation. We're pursuing the same means of grace for transformation and the same goal that our children will grow up to worship, praise, and glorify the Savior. Our practices are going to be slightly different. Our goals specifically in time will be different, but we're seeking to honor the Lord in all that we do and in how we do it. We're not to provoke our children. We're not to exasperate them. We can parent in ways that exasperate our children. And I think there are two significant dangers this evening, and I'm aware of this, and there's probably a whole spectrum in between. There's the danger of child-centered homes where parents live in fear of their children. And if you are afraid sometimes to go out because you're afraid, a sign of a child-centered home is a home where children's wishes often direct parents' decisions. A child-centered home is where someone is afraid to go out because they're afraid of what their child might do. A child-centered home is one where a children's wishes and attitudes shape the relationships and affect the other members of the household more than the parents' wishes or the parents' authority. Child-centered home is when we are being directed and run emotionally by the responses of our children. The other extreme can be a home where we're not God-centered, but we're parent-centered. Our wishes shape our parenting. And this in 0 to 6 looks different from when our children are teenagers, but the effect is the same. And it prepares really the way for just bad things in our children. It's when we want our children to behave in a certain way outwardly, but we're not concerned about their inward hearts. Now, we're going to be focusing a lot on outward behavior in 0 to 6. No question about it, but our goal is the same, to get to their hearts. So we're not to be indifferent. We're not to be dismissive. We're not to just ignore disobedience. And we're not to rage in anger, but we are to bring our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We're to have God-centered homes. And there are age-appropriate ways to parent. That we're going to look at the simple process this evening. And if you look at this scripture, I have 3 simple things listed: nourish, instruct, and discipline. And I find Ephesians 6:4 just to be extremely helpful in whatever season of parenting I am in. When I come back to these 3 things, I'm facing challenges, I come back to these 3 simple tasks: nourish, discipline, and instruct. This word nourish is really, that's the word I'm using, the word bring them up, and I'm translating it nourish. It's the same word. If you look in your Bible at Ephesians 6:1, if you have your Bible, if you could take that out right now, I'd appreciate it. And as you're taking it out and turning there, I'll just mention that word bring them up is the same verb that's earlier in Ephesians 5:29, where it talks about no husband ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. That word for nourishes is the same verb, bring them up. And that word is a relational word, and it should shape the how and why of our instruction and our discipline. Our instruction and our discipline in our home should be affectionate, and it should be loving. We must have a heart for our children that desires God's good for them. You see, in Roman culture, in the culture that Paul was writing, children were considered property. He wouldn't have to instruct them on authority as in the same ways that we need to have that kind of instruction in our culture. Children understood. They did what they were told. But this word would inform and shape what he's saying about discipline and instruction. We are to bring up our children and to nourish them and instruct them for their good. And I've had discussions sometimes with individuals from different cultures and talking about parenting and saying what is American and what is biblical. And I would welcome any questions along those lines, because I know we have a multicultural church and we come from different backgrounds. And some of the things that we do in our culture are wonderful and different. And some of the things that we do in our culture are sinful. And we have to be biblical and distinguish. There's no culture that is completely biblical. Not American culture for sure. We can be very critical of American culture and point out the things where there's worldliness. But just because something was done in your culture doesn't mean it was right. This is the way a 16th century Frenchman translated this verse. He said, let them be fondly cherished. Deal gently with them. A 20th century American, William Hendrickson, said, rear them tenderly. And I just want to say this because I think it's very important as we get into the whole issue of discipline and bringing discipline, that children are human beings made in the image of God that we have been entrusted to raise up and to nourish for the good of their souls. And they must know that our instruction is designed for their good. And love must flow through all of our discipline and all of our instruction. And we must remember that we are sinners, and oftentimes we can lose sight of that in the discipline and instruction. In the desire for their behavior to change, we can easily and quickly lose sight of the love that needs to characterize and fill our words. You know, I share this illustration. I could share it from my own life easily. But yesterday I was sitting in my bedroom, and one of my teenage sons was watching his 7-year-old brother and his 2-year-old brother. And I heard words that were actually very biblical. They were very clear. They were correcting behavior. And I was appreciative of the biblical content and the clarity with which he was correcting. But what it lacked was a tenderness. What it lacked was a gentleness. And so I brought him into the room, and I commended him for his clarity and his enforcing the standards we've asked him to enforce. But I said, do you know what? Do you want your brother to respond better to you? Do you think your words were tender? Do you think they were gentle? I think you could have said the same words with a different attitude. And I think we need to recognize our words need to be characterized by a desire for the child's good, to nourish them, to love them. So even when we're disciplining them, it needs to be done in the Lord. And it's a relational thing. And we want them to be aware of our love and our affection. Because parenting can become a fearful task. It can go from, you know, trying to do everything just perfectly right, and that's a faithless task, because then we're depending on ourselves and not on the Lord. Or it can go to, this is so hard, I don't feel like doing that right now. Drudgery, discipline. And either one, it's got to be a faith-filled, joy-filled task. The Lord is with us in this. Amen? Is the Lord with you in your parenting? He is for you, and He is in this with you. So let's look at these other words here. Discipline and instruction as well. So if you could turn over your outline there. I'm going to move to discipline. As we begin, these two words are not distinct items in the text. What Paul is overlapping words. In the Hebrew culture, these words people would have understood discipline and instruction were two of the same things. The discipline that he was being instructed to give, parents were being instructed to give towards their children, involved instruction. And the instruction was not just simply classroom instruction. It is the Deuteronomy 6 kind of instruction. When you're walking on the way, when you're doing this, when you're doing that, instruct, teach, and enforce. There's discipline involved in instruction. It can be in devotional times, but it's a whole life kind of thing. And discipline is really involves representing the Lord in restraining sinful behavior and enforcing God's standards to our children. Restraining sinful behavior and enforcing God's standards. These must be the defining activities that characterize our parenting. If we are submitted to God and His Word, our parenting will begin with a motive to glorify God and serve our children. To teach these sinful, dependent, sin-filled creatures the reality of the universe they live in. And here's reality number one. They're foolish. Here's the problem. They don't know it. They don't know they're foolish. They're going to tell you they're not foolish. They're going to tell you why they do things. They're going to do things that are foolish. And we need to restrain their foolishness. We need to enforce God's standards. We need to instruct them. Immature little men and women. Immature intellectually. Immature emotionally. And we need to relate to them in such a way that they need to come into an awareness that God has placed us in their life as authority figures. Now, if you just turn over in your outline, and you'll see under instruction in the next page, on page 3. See God's priorities in instruction? Love and obey God. Insist that they honor and obey their parents. Insist that they love and respect others. Basically, those are the things that we're going to be disciplining them towards in all of our parenting. We're going to teach them to love God, to obey their parents, and to respect others. It's a fulfillment of the first and second great commandment of Jesus Christ, and we're training them to do those things. But at this age, the main thing we're going to be teaching them is to submit themselves to our authority as God has placed it in their life. It's the main thing. Paul Tripp says, God, who is kind, established authority structures that are a means of blessing and grace. A child will receive blessing as he lives under God's authority structures. You want your child to be blessed? Teach them to submit to your authority. And look what he says here. This is another article by Ted Tripp. He says this. He says, embracing God's plan for authority is necessary to understanding the world God has made. One of the first places children encounter authority is in their parents. God has commanded parents to govern their children and for children to obey their parents. As we teach them to understand authority and submission, we are preparing them to obey God by living obediently and joyfully under all the authorities God has given. Unfortunately, the dominant culture we live in has rejected God's plan for authority. One of the dangers we can fall into is to insist that our children obey without ever helping them picture the world in such a way that their obedience makes sense. This is the heart of the matter here. We need to teach our children that it is good for them to submit to our authority. And we need to lead them into the ways of God, into the ways of wisdom. Proverbs is a book filled with teaching on what we're to lead them into. And the whole New Testament is filled with wisdom for us to lead our children into. Primarily their need for a Savior, and from there to live a life of loving God. But at this age, it's just learning to submit to authority first and understanding that there are consequences in this world, ultimately hell, for those who don't submit to God's authority. And we're representing God to them. Now, I heard one man speak about this task of teaching our children to submit to our authority. It's kind of like trying to teach someone to take a fish off the hook. You know what you're supposed to do. You can describe it, but when you actually start to do it, it's kind of slippery, and if you do it wrong, it kind of stings sometimes, and it's just a challenging task. And I think that describes well what we're trying to do here. But I think it is important that we begin by recognizing the goal. And discipline begins with teaching our children about God's authority. It also includes reproof and instruction. If you think of verbal correction as a form of discipline, think of it this way. Verbally correcting, that's a form of discipline. So when you're teaching your child in these early stages, when they're beginning to be cognizant that you're there, and they're starting to do things that you don't want them to do, no is a form of discipline. That's the beginning stages of discipline for a small child. No. Now, we don't want to, obviously, frighten the daylights out of them when we say no or something like that. But a firm no is the beginning of discipline in our children's life. That's reproof. Now, for some children, and this will test some parents, A firm no, can have the same effect of a spanking on other children. I mean, I had one out of my five child that was like that. And so for the first 2 years of his life, if I said no, even like that, he would be like that with my voice. That was only one out of the five. Don't get angry at me. That was God's mercy toward me. Now, and I want to just say this. He didn't respond in the same way to Valerie, which perturbed her greatly. And I had to train him to respond to Valerie in the same way. And in some ways, I'm still working on that with him. And so I think that we need to understand it begins with reproof. And also it's important to know that a discipline is loving. When we enforce God's standards on God's behalf, it is loving, and it is, and a failure to do so. And I don't want to spend too much time on this because I think that we all know this. Or I think this is a pretty well assumed thing here, that discipline and reproving our children is a good thing. Limiting their foolishness, training them in the ways to go. And there's a number of scriptures here that give very clear instruction on these things. You know, God says very clearly in His Word, Hebrews 12, God is treating you as sons if you endure discipline. For what son is there whom his father did not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. To failure to discipline our children is really to leave them fatherless. And I speak to fathers here, and I want to put a word of comfort into, if you're a single mother here, God will meet you, and I've seen God meet you at many single mothers in our midst as they've obeyed God's word. But if you're a father here, you are to lead in this process. You are to be the primary one leading in the discipline process of your children. And it is loving to discipline your children. It is loving to enforce God's standards. It is loving to train your children. And it is not loving. It, in fact, as Scripture describes it, as hatred if we fail to do so. If we fail to obey God and bring loving biblical discipline and training into our children's homes, it's the equivalent of hating our children. I want to charge all fathers. We are the ones responsible. Another aspect of discipline is it involves the rod. And we're going to talk about this much more clearly. But the primary means of discipline in this age and training among children 6 and under is the rod and communication. The rod and communication, primary forms of discipline. Proverbs 13:24 says this, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Actually, if you look at the footnote in the ESV, it says, or who loves him disciplines him early. Christian parents are to discipline with the rod in this age range because God requires it as the means he uses to drive foolishness from their hearts. It is the primary tool that we have for discipline of our small children. That is the biblical instruction. The rod is not the only form of discipline we utilize, but it is certainly one that we must not neglect. It is not to be characterized by anger or harshness, but by gentleness and self-control, where we speak to our children in a controlled voice. And we administer discipline in the fruit of the Spirit, in gentleness, kindness, and in self-control. And if we are not doing that, we are not administering the rod in a biblical way. So we must administer the rod. And this really is kind of one of those things that where we see the principle of parenting. You know, and I think this applies to every aspect of parenting and every age of parenting. Parenting is about God getting at our hearts. Are we going to trust ourselves or are we going to trust in God? And are we going to use His ways or are we going to try to force and manipulate behavior externally? Or are we going to trust God that as we do what He calls us to do and instruct our children, that He will do what He needs to do in changing their hearts and ultimately leading them to understand and grasp hold and believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on that cross? So the use of the rod always involves instruction, forgiveness, and reconciliation. It is to be characterized by self-control and humility. We're going to cover that more extensively in 2 weeks. But I want to say this. As we just read, he must be diligent to discipline. Discipline must be consistent. Notice what it says there. He is diligent to discipline him. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Now, consistency is hard work. This may be the most challenging thing in all of these things that we're going to talk about tonight, to be diligent, to be God's representative. And this is what perhaps exposes our sin in our parenting more than anything else. I mean, there's a number of things that I could say that about this evening that I know I've been convicted of. But here's the truth. We have to pay attention to our children. We have to give them our attention. It is not a good sign if dad is consistently having to be told by mom, did you see that? That's not a good sign. When dad's home, dad should be watching. Dad should be observing. Dad should be... Now, that doesn't mean it can never happen. That doesn't mean that wives can't be more discerning. But dads, if our wives are more discerning, let's pursue discernment. Let's lead. Let's be biblical. Let's lead our children in righteousness. Let's not be settling to have our wives lead us in this process, as precious a gift as they are. And praise God for the discernment of our wives, primarily to help us discern our own hearts and put to death sin in our own lives as we help to lead them. But we have a task to lead our wives and to lead our children, and we are responsible to lead in this process, to be consistent in discipline. And if we allow disobedience to clearly instructed standards, if we allow sinful attitudes to be manifested without addressing them, if we allow foolishness in behavior that is unhelpful to that child, we are in fact training our children that those things are all permissible. When we fail to discipline for violation of clearly instructed standards, when we fail to discipline for sinful attitudes or wrong behavior, we are training our children. We're training them that those behaviors are acceptable. And particularly at a young age, we need to be faithful. And you know, you think about it, if you're, maybe your child is 0 to 2 and you've told them, just in terms of, we're going to look at a moment at some of the things that we are to perhaps discipline for at this age, you may begin with just, obviously we put, and nowadays they have these things where you put into the outlets, outlet covers. So it's less of an issue than when our oldest was there. But maybe you just tell them no to that. And if you see him going over, you know, and you see him going, you know that he understands or she understands that they're doing something you've told them not to do. And a little smack on the hand teaches them what no means and that there's consequences associated with that. Now, it's very important in this young age that we don't load our houses up with all kinds of no-nos. If your house is loaded up with no-nos, don't do that to yourselves. That's a no-no for parents. One or two things is more than enough for you to get at the sin in their hearts. And because foolishness is bound up in a child, if you just tell them no-no to one or two things, they will surely find their ways to those things. And it's not just your kids. It's all kids. But you need to, if once you say no, you've got to discipline for that. You've got to enforce that standard. And to fail to do so is to teach them that disobedience is an option. So some of the things that we are to discipline for in these early ages are sinful outbursts. If you look at the bottom of page 3, acts of unkindness, direct disobedience, and transgression of clearly communicated standards. If a child, these are the kinds of things that I think in a child that we, a small child, and there are clearly developmental issues. Everybody wants to know, okay, when do we start disciplining? And let me just make a couple of simple points about this, because this is the challenge. There's all different kinds of children here. There are different kinds of children in my home. My first child, John David, when he was 2, was speaking in better English than me. He was parsing his verbs and saying things like, actually, Dad, I don't think the ball went down into the sewer. I mean, those are the things that he would say to me, and he would say things like that. And we had, by the time he was 2, been well acquainted with the discipline process. Now, I'll just speak to my current 2-year-old, my 5th one, and there's a range in between, because he, developmentally, he is almost 3, and he still doesn't understand the English language. You know, we were at the park 2 nights ago, and he was saying, I want to go backwards, Dad. And he meant upside down, but he said backwards. I mean, and it's just a challenge to figure out what he's talking about. So when he was in his 2s, and we were trying to figure out what he understood, and these are developmental issues. When you know your child understands clearly communicated standards and violates them, that's when you want to start really disciplining for disobedience. And this is why training precedes discipline. The more training you provide in these areas, the more confident you will be in that it's time to discipline. Okay, so you, and we'll talk about training and discipline next time when we talk about the rod. We're going to get into this much more. But the more specific training that precedes the discipline, you don't want to just say no-no one time and then spank a 2-year-old. It's just not fair. Give them a chance to understand what you're expecting from them. Train them outside the boundaries of temptation. This is loving parenting. It's instructing them so that when you do enforce standards, they are clearly communicated. This is not an excuse for not disciplining because you haven't clearly instructed. It means get on with the instruction process so that there are clearly communicated standards. But when those things happen, you want to do that. Now, I was going back to what with Braden. I would go into his bedroom in the morning and I'd say, good morning, Braden. And he would just kind of get this mischievous look on his face. And he is really cute. You know, he's got these blue eyes. And I kind of smile at him because he's kind of going. I say good morning, Daddy. And he just goes. And I'm just going, I think he knows what I'm saying, but I wasn't sure. So I talked to Valerie about it, and she said, yeah, I know he does that to me too, and I'm just not sure he understands. So we probably, you know, this is where just patience and time, knowing just to wait on the Lord, I think it just comes with a little bit of experience. We may have spanked him earlier in the process with number one or two, but they didn't turn out too bad. But a couple of days later, she was in the bedroom, and she's getting him up, and she says, good morning, Braden. He said, good morning, Mom. And she said, well, say good morning, Mom. And he said, good morning, Mom. He said, say good morning, Dad. Good morning, Dad. She says, Kenneth, could you come in here for a minute? And I said, Braden, would you say good morning, Dad? And he went. I said, boy, I got you. You're history now, baby. The process begins. So discipline involves instruction, and we want to make sure we have clearly communicated standards. And when I talk about sinful outbursts, I'm going to make some qualifications later on. I want to just get to this last point here. So I want to do this last point because I really think it's the most important practical point that I can share with you this evening. People want practical points, and I think we'll get into that in questions and answers, but I'm turning now from, we've talked about nourish, we've talked about discipline. I want to talk about instruct. We've mentioned that these are the priorities of God, to love and obey God, to insist that they obey and honor their parents, insist they love and respect others. It's important for each of us to remember, and I want to ask you to think about this as I'm saying it, to really enter in with me to this process, because I really think this could perhaps be the most helpful thing to you in your parenting of what I'm going to say tonight. A heart that honors Mom and Dad in receiving instruction and discipline is absolutely critical to your training. I think the most common mistake that I see in parents of every age, whether it's teenagers or two-year-olds, is that they don't insist that their children honor and respect them in the discipline and instruction process. And so your child does something wrong and you start to instruct and discipline them, and this is what every boy will do unless you train him not to do this. And they won't look at you in the eye. They'll put their hands in their pocket. They'll grab the wall. If there's a watch on the table, they'll look at the watch. That's part of the reason for that is that they're immature. They're easily distracted. That's not necessarily a sinful thing. As they get older, it becomes sinful. If you've got a 16-year-old and you're talking to them and they're not looking you in the eyes, that's sinful. They're not respecting you. But a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old is easily distracted. And if you are seeking to instruct them and permitting them to be disrespectful to you, you are training them that that's acceptable. So before you actually get to the issue that you're instructing and disciplining them on, require them in a gentle and kind and loving way to stand still, to take their hands out of their pocket. I mean, you could do it different ways. I mean, if you want them to have their hands like this, that's fine. That's not the issue. The issue is that they stand undistracted before you and that they look you in the eyes. And be prepared to remind them of that again and again. And that's part of the process. No, you're being distracted again. Please look in my eyes. Daddy said, you may not touch that, and you touch that. No, look in my eyes now. You may not say, sorry, Daddy. Sorry, Daddy. And you just got to keep, you just got to work on that. And if you're working on instructing them in anything, training, whatever it is, maintain eye contact. Now, this is an issue that I know some people say are cultural issues. I say to that, however you train your child to respect your instruction, just make sure they're respecting and honoring you. That's the issue. I think in our culture, looking in the eyes is a way to maintain contact and to listen carefully and to respond back to what you're saying. And it is critical in this age range that a child honor you. And having these categories will then help you as they then begin to interact more verbally, as they get to 3, 4, and they begin to say, well, I don't know, and things like that. You can begin to talk with them and interact with them and demand that they respond more thoughtfully or whatever it is, as age appropriate. I want to encourage us to instruct our small children when they become verbally able to respond. And you can see these things. Look in Daddy's eyes when I speak to you. Respond to a clear instruction with a yes, Daddy, or a yes, Mommy. One of the first things you want to train your child in is to say yes, Daddy, after you ask him a question. Even before they understand what it means, just say yes, Daddy, yes, Mommy. It will make your life much more pleasant. It will. If they learn that when you say, son, do you hear me? Yes, Daddy. When they get that clear, it makes everything else so much easier. It really does. Okay, now look me in the eye. Stand still. Let's talk. Teach them to say, yes, Daddy. Yes, Mommy. Insist on full, honorable attention when instructing. No looking away, no rolling of the eyes, no angry faces, no playing with toys. And then require that they respond immediately, completely, and cheerfully. And when I say that, I'm talking about when you've had their full attention. And we can qualify that as is age appropriate and circumstance appropriate in our question and answer time. But when I'm speaking to my son, I want him to respond immediately and completely. And I don't want him to be anything but cheerful as I'm asking him to respond to me. So if he's having there, if he's looking at me in the eyes, he's responding immediately, but he's going, yes, Daddy. I want to explain to him, no, that's not obedience. That's not honoring. That's immediate and it's complete, but you're lacking something. And you can use that in your training. You could talk about immediate, complete, and cheerful and do two, but leave one out and ask them which one you're leaving out as they get older, you know, 4, 3, and 4. That's a great way to train them. Okay, need to be immediate, complete, and cheerful. Leave out immediate, but be immediate. Leave out immediate, but be complete and cheerful. Do it like a few seconds later, and then you ask him to tell you. So you're getting them to interact. You're getting them to have fun with that. Make the training process fun. You're training them to come and respond to come. Role play. If you don't have older children to role play with, well, role play with your spouse, and make it fun. Be silly. You know, just in training and attitudes. I just think it's really helpful to be silly and you know, and this is where the nourish and the instruct comes. We're not demanding they be cheerful. You know? These are little kids. You know, and they're having a bad attitude. Let's be above that and just say, okay, grab a hold of yourself, Kenneth, right now. This is not a personal affront to your authority. You know, it's a child. And say, so, you know, okay, so with my 2-year-old, if I've got a hold of his attention and he's having a bad attitude and he's struggling, something's happened, that's not just an outward, absolute, you know, nuclear attitude, but he's just having a bad, his face is all crooked, and I'll say to him, this is what I'll do to my 2-year-old, I'll say, is this a nice face? And I'll make a really funny face, I'll go, and he'll, you know, he'll be trying to have a bad attitude, he'll go, and I'll say, well, you know what I do? I have 2 things that I do if I have a bad face. That means my heart's bad. And I can either start at my heart and move up to my face, or I can start at my face and move down to my heart. I'm going to show you what happens. If I start at my heart, and my heart's changed right now. My face is still really mad. But it moves up my neck, and then it goes like this. And you got him by that time. I mean, if he hasn't changed his attitude by that time, then he might need some discipline. But make it, you know, you're training them to exercise self-control. You're not training them to be perfect. You're training them toward obedience. Obedience is a process. And I'm going to close with this, and so Brian can come up here because I've already exceeded my time limit. But what I would say in this process is, when you recognize that you're sinning, at any point in the process, stop and deal with your heart before you continue the process of discipline. Anytime you become aware, or your spouse makes you aware, it seems like you're being sinfully angry right now. And there's ways to communicate that with one another and to help one another. I know that can be a delicate thing. Brothers, we need to be suspicious of ourselves. Because one of the things we're going to train our children in as they get older is to be suspicious of themselves. And if we don't demonstrate that in our parenting, it's unlikely we're going to make progress in other parts of our life, because this is the place where God wants to change you. This is the place where you're going to feel the most need in your life, and rightly so. I mean, it's easy to go into the workplace and kind of be Mr. Big, isn't it? And kind of you've got the education, you've got whatever you need. But parenting is so hard. It is challenging. And we need each other's help. We need the Spirit's help. We need the Word of God. So whatever you are, if you find yourself sinning, stop, address your heart, go back to these three simple words. Am I nourishing? Is my child aware of my love for them and my desire to nourish them? Am I representing the Lord in my discipline? Am I enforcing God's standards or restraining foolishness? And thirdly, am I instructing them in ways that are consistent with God's Word? Nourish, discipline, and instruct. Simple words, simple concepts, easy to grab hold of and guide us and guardrail our parenting at whatever age. That will just conclude our time for tonight, and we're going to have, I guess, some time for question and answers at this time.
Thank you, Kenneth. From start to finish, just outstanding. Let me just give you a little vignette into how I've benefited from this man's help personally. When we moved back from Chicago, it was about 3 years ago, and one particular day I brought Andrew into the office with me. He's my oldest son. He's now 6. At that time, he was a little over 3.5. And so brought him into Kenneth's office, and we had an opportunity to interact. And shortly after, there's a lot of grace in Andrew's life at that time for a 3.5-year-old, but Kenneth just gave me some very timely input about the importance of looking into an adult's eyes when he's communicating with an adult. And just gave me a great opportunity to consider that with Andrew and to see how I can help him to make more progress in that area. And that just turned out to be some very timely input for Andrew. Just helped him to make a step forward in cultivating a heart that wants to honor those in authority over him. Well, you fast forward 3 years later, and you'd think that that input practiced on Andrew would be perfectly now implemented with my other sons. I was at the playground with my 3 boys. We're there with Kenneth and some of his sons, and I'm having an exchange with my middle son, Liam, who is 3.5. And Liam's there. He's looking at me, and he's looking away. He's looking at me, he's looking down. And all that Kenneth just explained there was what I was experiencing there on the playground. Kenneth just very patiently watching and observing, just as a friend, began to draw me out afterwards and just say, you know, is that how he typically interacts with you? And I paused and I could feel the conviction coming on. Yeah, I think that's how he typically interacts with me. And so we just had another opportunity to revisit the same theme. And since then, this is probably about a month ago, it's just been a great opportunity to be reminded of the importance of teaching and training my sons to honor and respect my authority. And so with daily basis with Liam and with Owen, who's 2.5, we're working on these same things. So tonight I came home from work, getting ready to turn around and come back here, and had a chance to greet each of my sons. Greeted Liam, praise God, he looked me in the eye. He didn't look down like he may have in the last 24 hours before that. And then I went up to my 2.5-year-old, who's consistently looking all around, his head moves in circles as I'm addressing him. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, son, I'm about to introduce a parenting seminar tonight. I'm thinking, do well here for me, buddy. And so I look him in the eye and I say, hey, Owen, great to see you. I love you. And he looks me in the eye and says, I love you. And it was this rare moment of, from his age of 2.5, of being able to celebrate an evidence of grace in his life. So there's lots of tools that we've received in what Kenneth just shared. We're going to receive a lot more practicals as we do a Q&A here in just a minute. I just want to encourage you, that piece of application has so helped me in teaching my sons And I have none like the one that Kenneth has, who responds quickly to just a no. I have kids that they need the full force of daddy's strength in tone and consistency and love and instruction, and I've needed to be consistent with them in training and discipline. And Kenneth has helped me with that particular piece of advice, as he has with so many other ways. So take that with you as you leave tonight.